Are there ever days that you catch yourself thinking or wondering, how many times do I have to repeat myself? Please, no, don't do that. No, stop touching that. Are you serious? I just said stop 2 minutes ago. Oh my gosh, is anyone even listening? Well, I'm glad you are, Mama, because for some reason or another, you decided to click on the title of this podcast today, and it could very possibly well be that you are in the middle of this crazy, crazy season where it just feels like no matter what you do, you cannot get your kids to listen. Being a mom can really feel so defeating sometimes. I mean, it's really no wonder that we all need to go into the bathroom and just cry. Wait, have you ever done that? If you haven't, sincerely, please go try it. Maybe right now. Go press pause and just go do it. Closets are really good too, and even cars. You know, some seasons or ages of our children, it just feels like that our kids have earplugs in or they're like allergic to listening. It just can feel like no matter what strategies you try, no matter how many times, how nicely you say things, it's just not getting through to them. But I want to give you good news that it doesn't have to be that way. What if there were just some simple tricks that you could implement into your family's life today so that you would stop repeating yourself over and over and that you wouldn't have to actually pull your hair out? No, there's no magic pill for getting your kids to listen. At least I haven't found it. And if and when I do, you guys will be the first to know on this podcast. But there are some simple tools and tricks and things that I've learned over my 10 years of professionally nannying and also being a mom myself for almost 4 years that can really set you up to succeed. So I hope you're ready. I've got 3 tips to give you because Lord knows nobody needs 10 tips nowadays, right? That's too many to implement. I'm keeping it simple, concrete, and things that you can do immediately to implement into your family's life so that you can have a less stressed motherhood and enjoy conversations with your kids and get through the day without screaming, without crying, and have a better connection with your kids. And so you don't have to keep repeating yourself and that you feel heard and your kids do too. So buckle up, Mama, let's dive in and let's get your kids listening to you better.
The Energized Mama Podcast, a place where we explore together
how to raise those littles to know the Lord
while growing in your own intimacy with Jesus, learning how to keep your energy
while handling the inevitable stress
and rediscovering yourself outside of motherhood. It is possible. Let's do it together.
Mommy.
Mama.
We're energizing the mama. Yeah. You might do.
All right, Mama, let's get to it. So something I learned very early on in my nannying career when I really first started taking care of a lot of different kids when I was in my early 20s, I really discovered that, you know, all kids are created equal in the sense of all kids do not listen. It doesn't matter how great of a parent you are. It doesn't matter how amazing of a kid you have. They all struggle with listening. And some are more naturally prone to being better listeners than others. And some, it just depends on what kind of environment they're in. And so just know that also any kid can become a better listener. Because I also would argue to say that every parent can also become a better listener. Because truly, we're all just big kids, right? We're all these grown mamas that, you know, we had our own things that we struggled with when we were a kid. And some of them we were nurtured through, some of them we were helped through, and some we weren't. Some could possibly still be carrying around these issues today. Some, it could be that we're all still needing to learn how to do this all better. So please give yourself, you know, a good pat on the back, just knowing that by tuning into an episode like this today, you're already doing a lot more than a lot of other mamas out there. You are at least trying to better yourself and to become a better mama. So know that you're doing an amazing, amazing job. So the first tip, the first tool that I want to put in your toolbox today is that often when your kids don't listen to you, it's not because they don't want to listen. Very often they are distracted, right? So it's just like distracted driving is reckless driving. Well, distracted listening is reckless listening. I would argue it's not even listening at all. So kids can't listen if they can't hear you. And we know that as adults, there's a lot more to being heard. When you want someone to actually listen to you, you do want their full attention. And so little ones need more help with this, where an adult, you might be able to have a conversation with them with a TV blaring, the music's on, there's toys on the floor. I mean, I'm probably describing an average evening with your husband, right? When you're trying to relay things about each other's days. Well, kids don't work that way, especially when they're under 5 years old. They are still trying to grow and respond to so much stimuli around them, right? Their different skills that they're working on are still developing. So very often you'll notice kids can only focus on one thing at a time. So what you need to do in helping them become better listeners is to help them focus. So this may mean turning off the TV, taking away their toys, making sure that as many of their senses are on you when you really want them to listen. Now, sometimes, obviously, this is not possible. If you are demanding your kids to listen to you or calling their attention when they're across the playground, you can't say, touch them, you know? But if they are next to you and you really want your kids to fully listen and try to be put in the best situation, again, right? We're trying to set our kids up for success in how to listen to you better. Make sure their eyes are on you. Make sure that their ears are turned towards you. Make sure that there's low noise or no noise around them. Make sure if you can put your hand on their leg or on their back or somewhere that you know that they like to be touched so that they feel at ease when you're speaking to them. Because, you know, sometimes when we're trying to get our children to listen, we're causing them to do something that they don't naturally want to do. So putting them at ease and sitting on their own level will naturally cause them to feel more like, wow, okay, mommy is, or daddy is here for me, and they're not coming at me, but we're coming at this together. So again, first tip would be to turn off all distractions, including yours as well. It's hard to command a listening presence from our kids if we're also not mirroring that ourselves. If we're not being good listeners to them, they're going to pick up those habits. And of course, none of us are perfect in this. This is more of just, in a way, creating an awareness that if you really want your kids to be good listeners, we need to aim to be good listeners to them. And one of the best ways we can show that is to turn off distractions, even when we are not talking to them. I've noticed my almost four-year-old that he's picking up things in the ways that I communicate to his dad, my husband, and he is adapting his ways. Like, he has commented to us, oh, wow, well, I want to do this because that's what you do with daddy. And it's like those beautiful moments you want to bank on. You want to like, ooh, dive in there, you know, especially if it's a good thing. We all know that kids copy our bad habits too. But if it's a good habit, let's amplify that, right? And when it comes to listening, let's always amplify the ways that we can help them listen better. All right, so point two might be a little bit of the more controversial one. So I'm going to just lay it out there and talk it through with you. It's all about gamifying everything. Kids love games, right? Don't we know it? But sometimes, mamas, let's keep it real. When your kids continually do not listen to something you've asked them auditorily, right, that you've asked them to do with your words, is it not sometimes the most frustrating thing when they try to goof around or turn it into a game? I know for me, one of the biggest issues right now is when we are parked anywhere and my son loves to get out of his seat on his own. So he undoes his own car seat buckles and stuff and he gets out. And before I can get to the other side of the car, he loves to run in the back seat and basically play a little game of hide and seek. And the issue with that, mamas, right, is so often when we're in the car, we are on our way going somewhere or we're coming home or we are on our own time schedule that our children are totally unaware of, or to be totally frank, don't respect or don't care. Their main goal is to play all the time. So my husband and I, we were just talking about this yesterday. We were trying to figure out, okay, how can we embrace the gamify lifestyle? How can we die to our own pride and ask ourselves in moments, you know, what is the most important thing? Is it that my kid listens to me in the way that I'm trying to communicate it and that they just stop and respect me? Or is it that they just listen, that we ultimately get them to do what it is that we want them to do? And for us, we found it more important that our children listen to us at the end of the day. How we get them to do so is the secondary concern, right? And so we were thinking about even in the car with the hide and seek, you know, I said, it's kind of like a 70-30 thing right now. You know, I don't want to always tell him, hey, you cannot play hide and seek in the car. Like, you do not do this in the car, because sometimes it's okay. Sometimes we pull into the driveway and, you know, we're home and we're not rushing any, and it's cute to play peekaboo between the seats. And then honestly, when he's in the back seat, he often can find things on the floor that need to come out. And I'm like, ooh, let's play a little excavator game. Who can pick up the most toys, right? So it's like, by embracing our children's natural desire to play, how can we play into that to help them actually listen better? What I love about raising children is I often feel like they're raising me, or maybe helping me remind or often stop, what is that, unlearning things that I learned as an adult and remembering to play. Kids remind us to play. And I really want to encourage you to embrace that in your parenting, because it's really going to cause you to have less stress. It's something as simple as that. It's not necessarily, the concept is simple, the doing it is not simple for sure, but the more you can lean into it and the more you can allow yourself to play, because your kids can't just turn that off. They can't turn off their desire to play. And I really feel as your kids get older, you're going to wish that they could turn on that desire to play again. You know, we have my husband's daughter we're raising in our home, and she's 15, and we have to remind her to be a kid. We have to remind her, like, hey, your adult life is coming sooner rather than later. This is the time to just be a kid and to laugh and joke and to not have to act so serious, right? But we know with littles, you don't have to coach them to do that. We actually have to coach ourselves. So again, when you want your kids to listen better, make sure to turn off all distractions and gamify everything. Turn it into a game. See who can listen quicker. Can you listen better than mommy? One tip today that I'll have to get back to you guys on another podcast if it worked or not. So my, you know, son who's almost four, he's really struggling with listening at preschool to his teachers this week. And this morning I said, hey, Mason, every time you feel like you want to say no today, can we make a game? And he's like, yeah, mommy, what's the game? I said, instead of saying no, can we try? Can we say yes? And, you know, he was like, yeah, I think he was kind of wondering where this was going. And I was like, all right, buddy, how many times do you think you can say yes today? Can you say yes 5 times? And he's like, no, mommy, I think I can say it 10 times. I was like, no, 10 times? What if, Mason, I don't know, this sounds kind of crazy, but could we do 20 times? Because he's been learning how to count up to 20 and beyond. So he said, mommy, I'm going to try. I'm going to go for 20. And we like showed on his hands how he has 10 fingers and how he can then count again. And that's going to be one of my first questions when I pick him up today. Like, buddy, how many times did you say yes? You know? And again, I am not the expert. I did not get a children's handbook. I don't think any of us did, right? But I'm sharing with you again from my experience as a mom, from my wealth of knowledge of just taking care of children throughout my 20s and 30s of what's worked for me. And so actually, coming to the last tip of this episode, it's actually something that I grabbed from a mom that I used to nanny for. And it's so surreal because I just saw on Facebook the other day that her two kiddos I used to nanny are now 14 and 17. And so I'm taking you back because I learned this tip back when they were 3 and almost 6. So 10 years later, here we go. So first tip is review, turn off all distractions. Tip number 2, gamify everything. Number 3 kind of falls into number 2, is create code words or a sentence for your kid to know that you mean business. Basically, again, it's that principle of when you need your kids to listen, sometimes it really is about safety, right? Sometimes it is utmost importance that they do listen to you, right? I mean, it's like a car is coming, do not run in the road. That's not okay if they do not listen. There are very serious consequences, where there's other things that it's like, well, you kind of would like your kid not to do this, but is it worth the battle, right? I think we all probably daily have to go through those kind of conundrums, so to say. Well, an idea that came from this mom is that she had this phrase that what helped get her kids' attention. So again, pulled them away from distraction. And then it was a little bit of a game because she said something and they had to repeat it back. So it was like a catchphrase. What she would say is 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And they had to look and then they would go 1, 2, eyes on you. So kids love songs. They love to repeat phrases, right? So it got their attention. It got them into a little bit of a game, like a singy songy thing, but then it got their eyes on her and her eyes were on them. And then it was like she could start the execution of the direction or the conversation that she wanted to give them. It has worked like a charm with so many kids I've nannied and also my own son. I've started doing it. And if anything, it pulls him out of his distraction. Like when he hears 1, 2, 3, eyes on me, he giggles and he instantly at least looks at me. Sometimes he doesn't repeat the 1, 2, eyes on you. We're working on it, but it at least pulls him back. Like it pulls him to me like, hey, mommy's here. Mommy's talking. Let's do this. And again, mamas, I can't stress enough to do the mirror approach, meaning when your kids have something to say to you, really do your best. And I know it's hard because we're busy and we're cooking and we're shopping and we're texting our husbands, asking him questions, you know, but it's very important that you give your kids what you expect out of them too. That you stop, you look at them in the eyes, you get on their level, you turn off your distractions so that you can listen to them as well. And besides a fun catchphrase like the 1, 2, 3, you can also create a word, like a safe word or a quick little sentence or phrase so that your kids know like, hey, this is important. It's almost like the mom look in verbal form because sometimes your kids can't see your look. Sometimes the mom look is enough, but other times it's just good to have a companion in your motherhood toolbox, right? Like, okay, mom looks not working, or I'm in the front seat driving and they can't see my look. So again, choosing a phrase, it can be something as silly as like, hey guys, serious talk, just the phrase serious talk, or this is important. Teaching your littles the word important. When mommy says this, you need to stop and it's serious. And taking them through the steps of what you expect for them to do. But keep it short and sweet, especially if your kids are 5 and under, right? Their attention spans are short. They're still learning how to communicate, how to understand when someone's talking to them, what the expectations are. So keep it very short and sweet. Keep your explanations sweet and short. And also the phrases, right? Because then you're only going to, again, you're going to get better feedback from your kids. You're actually going to get them to listen to you. Something that you can gamify here too is say your kids aren't resonating with serious talk, or they're not quite old enough maybe to understand what the word important means. You can always make it fun for your kids. Make it something fun that they know it's serious, but that it makes them giggle. It makes their attention. So sometimes mommy, again, with my almost 4-year-old, he's recently gotten into Mario Brothers. So, you know, I sometimes when I really want him to listen, I'll go, hey, Mario and mommy says, or I'll even go, Mario and mommy says. And again, he laughs, he giggles. Sometimes he thinks it's a joke, but then I've got his attention. Attention. That is if there's anything that you've learned from this episode, that it's so important to get our kids' attention first. That is what ultimately sets up so many listening conundrums to fail, is that we just don't have their attention. Once we have their attention, you really can achieve so much more in your conversation than if it's distracted. So again, mamas, turn off all the distractions, including for yourself, gamify everything and have fun, create code words and involve your kids in the process, especially as they get closer to 4 and 5 and 6. They can comprehend these type of discussions and these decisions, and kids will love that you're asking them their opinion and validating their emotions, even though they don't have to agree with everything you're saying or asking of them. Coming up with some kind of a decision together about how you guys can help each other be better listeners and how they can become better listeners is only going to strengthen your relationship with your kids. And that's ultimately what God wants, right? And you continue to pour these good and godly skills and tools into your kids. And the word of God declares that, you know, even if they turn from it as they are getting older, they're going to come back to it. So if you're in that season where you feel defeated and you feel like, man, I've tried these things, I'm a little skeptical, I don't know if this is going to work, First and foremost, try them, I promise, because your kids are going through different things in any given day or week. It's amazing how much they go through that we don't always see or know. Even if you homeschool your kids, even if you're around them all the time, we can't protect them from everything and we can't always see and know everything that they're going or growing through, right? There's so many emotional, spiritual, mental milestones and things that they are progressing and sometimes regressing through. So if you've tried some of these things before, don't be afraid to go back to them again. But ultimately know that a relationship with your kids is going to cause them to listen to you better and to connect with you over the long term. So always focus on the relationship. Focus on seeing your kids, listening to them, and loving them, and God will take care of the rest. How did that episode feel? Are you feeling refreshed? Are you feeling more energized? Are you feeling like, yes, Cheyenne, I am excited. I am ready to be listened to. Well, good. That makes me very happy to hear that. And if you still have some advice that you'd like, or you're struggling with a deeper issue, please feel free to reach out to me. I love connecting with my listeners and I love engaging with you, especially behind the scenes in my exclusive Facebook group. You can come find us at momnationcommunity.com. And it's an exclusive group of people who are raising littles and they want to raise them to be good, godly people, but they also want to be good, godly moms in the process. And we're there to sharpen one another. We're there to encourage one another and we're there to pump each other up. I mean, every mama needs a hype woman or maybe a hype team. So that's what you'll find there in the Mom Nation community. Come find us and we'll be there to encourage you and love you through every season. Thank you so much for listening to the Energized Mama podcast. I hope you know these podcasts are truly uniquely designed with you in mind. I take feedback all the time from my listeners and from my other mom friends so that I know what do you want to know? How do you want to grow? What's on your mind? What causes you to lose sleep at night? You know, what are things that you just need help with? And the only way that I know that is if you tell me. And one great way to be able to do that is to go over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick review. You scroll down through the show notes at the end of an episode and right there, you'll see a little write a review button, and that boosts my show up so that more people can find help like this, more people can get hyped up in their motherhood journey. But I also then read each and every review and I love getting feedback there and seeing how can I further serve you and the other moms in your community. So thank you again. I look forward to connecting with you on a future episode of the Energized Mama podcast. Until then, here's a big virtual hug from me to you. And just know, mama, you are doing amazing. Keep moving forward and don't be afraid to grow.